Gentlemen, boys, and girls, welcome to another edition of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. It is I, Michael Lindebaum, being joined, as always, let's just call you the official co-host at this point, because you're the only one who ever comes on.
That's right.
The amazing Toro Masamune. Toro,
That's
welcome
always
back,
great.
as always.
Always great to talk hockey with you.
So, it's fun, you know? It's just, we don't put pressure on ourselves. We just let it flow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So last time we talked, last time actually we had an episode go out was February 1st.
Oh.
We were supposed to record February 28th. We didn't record 2 weeks ago for two reasons. Number one, you had an audition.
It, yeah.
And number two, I lost my job.
There you go.
So we had.
I didn't get the
Aww.
gig, so if that makes you feel any better.
Now, I'm sorry. But
So
you know,
we're
given
pressed.
like you had a legit audition when you told me, I said, hell yeah, man, go for it. And actually, you had told me about the audition, I think, the day before I got
Yeah,
laid
I didn't
off,
hear about it.
actually.
No, I texted you shortly after I heard about it. That,
Yeah,
oh,
so
shoot.
yeah, no, you did, because I was coming home from the Caps Blues game, and that was on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And so you literally told me the day before I got laid off from my job.
Yeah.
But
Crazy.
you know, it is what it is with
It is what it is. Yep.
but yeah, so last time we talked was February 1st. The Capitals, we're actually going to change it up. We're actually going to start with the Capitals, then we're going to do some Oilers, and then we're going to go into the trade deadline, some other stuff. Capitals went on a had a mixed first half of February, where they went 2-0-2. They lost to the Winnipeg Jets, which was obviously the battle of the top two teams in the NHL that we had discussed last time. That was a 5-4 overtime loss to the Jets. Capitals beat the Panthers and then beat the Flyers and then lost to the Utah Hockey Club 5-4 in the shootout on Super Bowl Sunday going into the Four Nations break. Obviously, Canada won that over USA in the championship game. But it's what the Capitals did coming out of it, which everyone went, oh boy. And this was actually something we were going to talk about originally on the 28th, because the timing was just a little perfect at that time. Because I went up with my friend Chris to Pittsburgh to see the Capitals play the Penguins, which was nice because, as you know, back at the end of January, I went up to Scotiabank Arena in Toronto and I went to take in a Leafs game there. So I got to, in literally a 1 month time frame, got to go to two different NHL arenas to experience those different experiences. Nothing like using experience like twice within four words of itself. And obviously the Capitals wrecked the Penguins 8-3. Ironically, eight goals were scored, but Alex Ovechkin was not one of them. But then the very next day, I was then at the Capitals game at home against the Edmonton Oilers. I'm so sorry, Toru, where the
That's okay.
Capitals wrecked the Oilers 7-3.
Yep.
We'll get back to that in a moment, because what I'm going to say is next is after that, the Capitals then went on a three-game losing streak to Calgary, St. Louis, and Tampa Bay. And then they went on a four-game winning streak, beating Ottawa in the shootout, the Rangers in overtime. What an OT winner by Tom Wilson in that one. Defeated the Red Wings and then defeated the Seattle Kraken. Oh no, a five-game win streak. My fault, because they beat the Anaheim Ducks earlier this week, 7-4, and then lost last night to the LA Kings, 3-0. So the Capitals came in on a very big high with those two very high-scoring games against the Penguins and the Oilers. Then they kind of came down a little bit, and then they kind of came back up with that five-game winning streak. And you know what? I'm not even mad that they lost to the Kings, because the Kings are a good team. They displayed that against the Caps, and LA is actually second in the Pacific Division right now behind Vegas. So it's not like we lost to a non-playoff team when you look at that result right there. But we got to talk about the Oilers Caps game for a moment. Two reasons. One, it's the first time we get to actually talk about a Caps Oilers game in thorough fully, because there's actually was stuff to talk about with this game compared to the first time these two teams played this season. But the other thing is the Ovechkin hat trick and how pathetically I failed at throwing a hat from the 400 level.
That's right. That's right.
It was brutal. So Ovi obviously had two goals in this game. And then with 3 minutes left, with a 6-3 score, Knobloch pulled, I believe it was Stuart Skinner, who, no, it was Calvin Picard who was the goalie. Pulled Picard and essentially saw Ovi was on the ice and he went, just have the hat trick. Have you ever seen a coach ever pull the goalie for the purpose of a player to complete the hat
It was
trick?
like 4 minutes out, right? It
It
wasn't
was
even
like
like,
3.5 minutes left
yeah.
in the game, and it was like I saw them pulling and everyone's just going like in the arena at Capital One Arena going like,
Yeah, I
empty
mean,
net, empty net. I'm like,
it's hard to see, and it was just it's hard to tell what he was going for, you know, because I part of it I thought, you know, this was back when the Oilers had hope. And I think saw themselves as a good team. I almost liked this. Maybe they're just being aggressive. Maybe that's what it is. And you know, I think they
I
had a
mean, all
few.
the big names were out there. You had
Yeah, and they had a
McDavid,
few
you
goals
had
to catch up. It wasn't
Dreisaitl.
like just
Yeah.
one goal, right? It was they had a few
They were
goals.
down by three.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe that's Oilers hockey. Is like, you know what? We're not scared. Well, yeah, so there's part of that. But there was that part of me thinking, you know, maybe I don't know. I mean, there's part of, you know, there's part of Ovechkin that transcends, I think, the Capitals, that he's sort of NHL. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's, and you know, just whatever, being the old guy, just everything about it, it's hard not to want to root for him. And, you know, especially with the injury and everything. So I'm wondering if, I don't know. So, and I switched from that point. After he scored, I said, you know what? I think this is Ovechkin's night. And I just kind of thought, okay, Oilers sucked. And I didn't realize it was a trend at that time. But I thought, all right, well, whatever. But, you know, it was a good, I kind of, I that turned into sort of raised up. I said, you know, this is about, maybe this is about the great game of hockey. You know what I mean? And Ovechkin very much represents that right now. You know, so I think, I don't know, but who knows? We'll never know. I think
Well, and
no
that's the
one will take
interesting
it to the
thing.
break.
Everyone went in after
Yeah.
the game, waiting for Knobloch's post-game presser,
Yeah.
because everyone was kind of going like,
Did you?
is somebody going to ask him? And like that was the thing. I mean,
Did someone ask him at the press?
from what I saw, from what was available on like Twitter and
Yeah.
Facebook, which was the same video at the same length, nobody asked him about it.
That's weird.
But at the same time, if I was somebody there, I would have gone, what was your
Oh.
thinking on pulling the goalie down by three? You knew you weren't going to make it. You weren't going to make a comeback with the way the team was playing. Why'd you pull the goalie? With the hope of getting an answer of, Oh, we were just going to give it to Ovechkin, or, well, we
Yeah,
thought we
at
could.
this point, we can't help the Oilers, we can't help ourselves, but let's help the game of hockey, 'cause that was kind of cool, I
Yeah,
mean,
but
all.
everyone was going like, I've watched a lot of hockey. I literally have seen this guy, Peter Bondra, the good jersey I'm wearing,
No.
score 5 goals in a game before.
Yep.
Never, ever in watching hockey or going to games, heck, even playing hockey, I've never seen an opposing team
Yeah.
purposely pull their goalie for the
It
purpose of giving a player a hat
was
trick.
unusual, and the only thing that I think that was maybe he was just weighing it all out and saying, why not? Why not? Because you're if If you're down 3 goals, you're not going to wait till the last minute, right, to pull your goalie. And quite frankly, I think that was a trend. I think less so now, but there was, remember that several years ago, people started pulling their goalie early. Remember
Yeah,
that trend?
it would be like 3, 4 minutes left in the game, and if they're
Yeah.
down like by 2 or 3 goals, they'd start
Yeah,
pulling their
and you
early
can,
goalie.
I have seen that, I mean, it's a ballsy move because you gotta.
It's kind of dumb because it backfires more times than it helps you.
Yeah,
So,
it's not going to
but
work, but you could say,
I think of all the times it's worked, I think it's worked like maybe 2% or 3% of the time.
but do you remember the Chicago Boston, that Stanley Cup? I think didn't Chicago pull their goalie or something? And remember they scored. Remember that there's some game, some big game, and they scored and they tied it up with 2 goals, like in the last minute or
No, what
something.
it was is that
What was that?
they were down by one, and I
Yeah.
think it was the cup clinching game.
Okay, that's what it
Chicago
was.
was down by one. They scored the tie, and then they scored, and the goalie wasn't pulled on this one, but they scored like 20 something seconds later
Okay, so the
to
goalie
cut.
was not pulled at that point. Okay,
Yeah.
but I feel like
I think it was pulled for the first one to tie the game, but when the game was tied, because the momentum had already swung Chicago's way,
Well, that's the thing. It's
yeah.
if you're feeling it, and but I feel like it was pulled early, and I have seen that. That was a thing for a while. I don't know if it still is. I haven't watched it, seen it recently, but people would pull it out, with quite a bit of time left.
Yeah, so it's definitely very interesting to see that. But yeah, everyone was just going on
But
about
it is
how crazy it
unusual.
was.
It's
But with
unusual, and the timing, the fact that, and I, oh, this is what, remember I told you. I think is Arvidsson. He shot when his stick broke. During that shot, that's when I
Oh
said there.
yeah, when we were talking on the phone, when we were rebooking when we were gonna record this episode, yeah, you had told me when Arvidsson broke the
Well, that's
stick.
when I switched. I realized this game isn't about the Oilers at all, and I thought the hockey gods are real because that to me, I kept at that point. I said, "What if that was McDavid or something?" You know what I mean? Like, what if, like I've seen that. I've seen that with Tom Brady or whatever, where just things like miracles happen. And to be kind of like, it sucks to be on the other side of that, but I kind of get that feeling. And I thought when that stick broke, that's the kind of things that happen,
It was like the hockey guys are saying, "Hey, you pulled your goalie. We're letting Ovi score. We're
Because
completing
it
this hat
looks,
trick," type of
yeah,
deal.
and that was just insane. And that was actually, I was on the ice the other night. It's actually, I just realized it's actually hard to score from your own defensive goal, even with an. Under duress, even from with an empty net, it's no guarantee, so.
I can do it in ball hockey very effectively
Oh,
because
really?
it's because I actually practice it. Before we even start scrimmaging on Monday
Oh, you
nights,
do
like
the
I'll actually stand on the other end of our
and
gym,
train.
like our of the auxiliary gym, and I'll just have a few balls and I'll just start wrist shotting them on the goal because
Like
I'm
it
also because what I'm one of the things I'm also doing is I'm not actually aiming to score most of the time. I'm actually trying to aim for the crossbar because I want to see if I can keep my shot high enough
Oh, nice.
to hit the crossbar. And sometimes I do, but most of the time I just either shoot
It's
in the
for
net
them.
or shoot a little wide.
But
So.
you know what it reminds me a little bit of? I've only tried curling a couple of times, but you watch it and then you sit down and you look, holy crap, that circle is far away. Like you don't realize, and a lot can happen
Yeah.
between now and there. And so I kind of feel like even the shot that he got was not easy. I mean, I wouldn't say it's hard, but it wasn't easy. But it was there was a lot of providence involved, I felt. You know, when that stick broke, I said, all right, that this isn't about, you know, and they didn't come close to winning, and you know, so it's interesting. But it was good. It was a good game. I mean, that was a, you know, it was a tough game. It was a, you know, and I think it was a good lesson for Edmonton that, you know, they got to get bigger because you guys, you know, you guys have a nice big team, you know.
So I grabbed a hat randomly for those of you watching us on YouTube.
Oh yeah,
Let's be honest, because I'm not going to take my headphones off to take the hat off my head. I'll just grab one of the random hats I have off to the side. So obviously Ovi gets the hat trick. I have all these group hats that I've gotten for over the last few seasons from the Capitals, and they're sitting in my car because they're the same freaking hat. And on the bridge of the hat, of the visor, like right here, I have written down, "Congratulations on your hat trick,"
Oh,
and
nice.
then I sign it with my name. And so, for those of you watching on YouTube, for those of you listening, I'm sorry, you have to just make believe you could see what I'm doing. I literally have the hat. I pull it off my waist because I have it like snapped into my belt hoop, and I go, and I'm like priming it. It's like straight, straight, straight. So far to the right. Like, for those of you watching on YouTube, I literally threw it so far to the right because it ended up probably. So I sit in section 420. The hat probably ended up in section 422. It did not go straight. It did not go towards the ice. It went to the right to another section on the 400 level. The season ticket holders who I sit with watched this happen and they started laughing hysterically at me. And I just start laughing hysterically, and we're all just laughing because we think it's the funniest thing. And I
No.
just look over to Sandy and I go, "It's okay to laugh at me. I deserve the ridicule for that one." So, first time ever getting to throw a hat for a hat trick. And I,
One Ovechkin hat trick, no
and
less.
of all things, an Ovechkin hat trick, and I completely blow it.
So you need to practice it
Completely.
like your ball hockey empty netter. You got to practice it. You know,
Yeah,
you can't just show up at the game thinking you can just, you know, it's gonna be a piece of cake, right? You got to practice it, right? Yeah.
but yeah, so it was embarrassing, but it was fun. But yeah, it's
One thing I will say, the one thing I've the one and I so it was really great, and I kind of really. It's nice to sort of watch this legendary player play, and I thought that was great. But one sort of nice point that I thought about the game too, which was fun, was that the Nacho game? I think it was
No, the
that a
Nacho
different
game.
one?
No, that was like, I think, up in
Oh, that was
Toronto.
earlier.
Yeah, that was earlier than that. I think that was in
Okay, for some
Toronto.
reason. But anyway,
No, that because that was a road game for the Capitals, not a home
that's road
game.
game. Okay,
Actually, you know what that is? That could have been the game against the Oilers in January.
Maybe that's what it was. An earlier game.
Yeah, that was probably the earlier game
I
than that
just thought of
one.
that too. Was that the Nacho game? Because if that
No,
would have been the one thing
no.
that was.
No, the Nacho game was, I think that was the game in Edmonton, not,
But I
not in
gotta say,
BC.
that was that at the end of the day, I thought, and they just weren't, they were just being outplayed, and I really saw the difference, you know, and that's what you need in the playoffs. And I kept on thinking, man, I don't know. And now we really, you know, so maybe it's Ovechkin and the Capitals year, you know. I mean, wouldn't
Either
that
that
be,
or Winnipeg finally pulls it out.
wouldn't that be something? So it was, anyway, it was good to watch, and you know, so maybe at the end of the day, you kind of think, okay, that was cool. That was kind of cool. I don't remember, you know, maybe I won't even remember who they're playing. I'll say, wouldn't that be cool watching Ovechkin getting a hat trick, you know?
I mean, hey, Ovi is 9 goals
Well,
away.
you know what's so funny? I remember they're talking a lot about it, and at the time it wasn't clear that he'll make it this year, but they're saying, yeah, he could do it. And he said, and the coach, I think, was calling, yeah, but you know, if he gets 2 or 3 goal games every so often, that will help. And he kind of said that before, I think, before.
To be honest, I was expecting that against Anaheim for
Yeah.
Ovi, but then he passed up the puck so that way Alexei Protas can score his first career hat trick.
I see.
Which, to everyone who's going, "Oh, Ovi's always going to go for the empty netters," well, there's proof that he doesn't. He gave it up to Protas so he can get his first career hat trick. And
That
actually,
was
I
an empty
did.
netter.
Well, the hat trick was an empty netter, yeah. Or the third goal, at least, was for Protas. But then at the same time, And we'll get to this in a moment, but the Capitals are playing San Jose today because we're releasing this episode on March 15th. So the Caps play San Jose Sharks. San Jose is a bottom feeding team. This is a team that, in theory, Ovechkin could get a couple goals against.
Yeah. He's definitely going to get it, that's for sure. So, I guess.
Oh, I definitely think he is. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in.
Hopefully you'll be there. Hopefully you'll be there when it happens.
Yeah, but we'll touch a little bit base on that in a moment. So, but yeah, like I said, we'll get to Ovi and the goals in a moment because I want to go over this remaining schedule, and I want everyone to know the next time Toro and I get together to record an episode will most likely be at the end of the regular season before the playoffs start, or shortly after the playoffs start, because it's just how our schedules work.
I'll be previewing the Oilers wild card game.
Yes. And we'll get to this. And normally we would be done standings already. I'm actually going to do a full-blown standings after we also talk about the Oilers. And the reason for that is that because there's going to be playoff implications, and I want to have a nice little focus on that as a whole rather than based off of a division, because now we're just kind of in that playoff chase now. But for the Capitals, like I said, we're recording this episode on March 14th. We're releasing it on March 15th. So obviously, this afternoon, the Washington Capitals are ending their California trip with a visit to the San Jose Sharks. This is one of those games that I mentioned that I could see Ovechkin, in theory, getting a goal or two in this one. Then on the 18th, the Capitals are back at home for a three-game homestand, starting off with a visit from the Detroit Red Wings. And then on Thursday, the 20th, the Capitals are hosting the Philadelphia Flyers. And I actually have an interesting tidbit about this one. So, you know how at the games, all the teams are doing a Geico Fourth Star of the Year thing throughout the season, and they're accepting applications for? So, I randomly applied back in like November for the Capitals Geico Fourth Star of the Year. I ended up winning February. So, I am the Washington Capitals Geico Fourth Star of the Month for the month of February. And I am now in the month of April and going to be voted on by all the fans for who of all the Capitals monthly winners will be the Capitals fourth star of the year. Nice little perks if voted and everything like that, but we'll get into that later. Like maybe on the next episode or something, but I got it and they told me on February 27th that I got it,
That's so cool.
and that I got it for February. And they're like, you're gonna get four tickets to a game, a prize pack, and a game day experience.
Wow.
I purposely chose March 20th against the Flyers for the game so I can bring my dad, because my dad's a Flyers fan. And I'm bringing my friend Sasha and my friend Matt Greenhut, aka Greeny. You may have heard me reference him before in the past because he's, one of the guys I play hockey with. And so I'm going to that game. They're literally sitting me in the section underneath my section, which makes it even funnier. Because apparently section 218 is right underneath 420, so it's like it works out perfect. And then I don't know what's in the prize pack yet, but I'll let you know later when I get it on Thursday. My game day experience was either ride the Zamboni during an intermission
Oh man.
or pregame warm-ups in the penalty box.
Oh.
You could figure out which one I picked.
Wow.
Which one did I pick? This is a no-brainer one.
I'm thinking warm up, but I don't know. Like they both
Yeah,
sound
you're
amazing.
right. It's
Yeah, I
warm-up.
mean I'm guessing it's hard to say no to that, but the Zamboni, man, that would be pretty fun.
Well, see, here's the thing, and I don't think I sent you the picture, but when the Capitals played Seattle on the 9th, after the game, they did a season ticket holder skate on the Capital One Arena ice after the game, which was
Yeah.
so cool. So I think I don't think I sent you the picture. I should have sent you the picture. If not, I'll send it to you later. But it's me on the ice, and I actually put on Instagram and Facebook Reels and TikTok. I actually filmed like a 2-minute long video of me actually in director view. So you could see my face in like a picture in picture thing. And then you could see the ice and that just me skating on the ice and just my facial reaction to being able to skate on the ice.
Awesome.
But yeah, no, I picked the penalty box for pregame warmups
Yeah.
because I always shoot the video of the players coming out onto the
Right,
ice.
right, right, right.
And I'm like, imagine shooting that from the penalty
Yeah,
box. You can't shoot that from the Zamboni. It's like, so it's like, and like when I did the season ticket holder skate, you got that lap around the ice 2 times, but me skating the ice.
Right.
If I had done that with the Zamboni, it would have been the exact same thing, but from the perspective of Zamboni. Which one, in your opinion, is cooler? Skating on the ice or Zamboning the ice?
Well, I mean, skating, obviously. I
Yeah.
mean,
So it's like, so it also then turned it into a no-brainer of like, oh, well, I'm going to do the penalty box because now I'm going to shoot the players coming out on the ice from the penalty box. And I'm going to be able to take pictures from the penalty box. It's like, so it's like, and who knows, maybe I might get a warm-up puck or two from the players while standing in the penalty box. It's still TBD who is going to be in the box with me because I can only bring one other person. But it could be either be just either my dad or Sasha. But the thing is, though, is that if my dad shows up wearing Flyers gear, it's going to automatically be Sasha because they don't allow opposing teams gear in the penalty box. So I,
That's funny.
but yeah, no,
Maybe
it's.
he could take it off for the part.
Yeah, but I joked with my dad, like, yeah, how funny would it be if like we put us two goons in the penalty box together?
Yeah,
So,
that'd be awesome.
but because my dad racked up penalty minutes when he played, and I racked up
Yeah,
penalty minutes when
I'm
I
sure
played,
you
so
just make sure you get something that's removable.
yeah.
Layer his Flyers gear.
But yeah, so I picked the 20th. So that's another game that's coming up, obviously. When it comes to Detroit and the Flyers, both of them are not in playoff position right now. However, Detroit is 2 games out of the last wild card spot. So it's like this is a must. So like when the Caps play Detroit on the 18th, that's a must win for Detroit. For Philly, it doesn't really matter on that one. And honestly, my dad has openly said he wants them to lose to get better draft positioning.
I mean, at some point you don't want to just hang around the middle, so I can see that.
Yeah. Then next Saturday, the 22nd, the Capitals play host to the Florida Panthers. Whether or not Brad Marchand will be in the lineup for the Panthers, that remains to be seen. And Florida, should be noted, is the number 2 team in the Eastern Conference. The Capitals then hit the road real quick for a game against the Winnipeg on the 25th and Minnesota on the 27th, which, fun fact, I'll just be going to the Nationals home opener on the 27th. So I'll catch whatever's left over of the game when I get home from the Nats home opener. For the record, I know this isn't a baseball podcast. I go to Nats games like maybe 1, 2, 3 times a season. Never in my life have I ever done a home opener. So that's a whole new experience right there. I
Cool.
recommend everyone try to get new experiences in life. If there's one thing from
Absolutely.
this show, that's
Yeah,
it.
absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's very sage advice.
And then the end of the month of March, the Capitals play the Buffalo Sabres. Now, I want you to note this right now. There are 4 home games remaining in the month of March. Okay, I want you to note that. All right? Because now we're going to go into April. April 1st and 2nd, the Caps are on the road for back-to-back games against Boston and Carolina. Then they are at home on April 4th against Chicago. April 6th, they're on the road for the Islanders. And then on the 10th of April, they are at home against Carolina. Then they have a home and home against Columbus, with them being on the road on the 12th in Columbus and at home against Columbus on the 13th. Then to wrap up the regular season on the 15th, they're in Long Island for a matchup with the Islanders, which is awkwardly an 8 p.m. game for whatever reason. And then on April 17th, which is the last day of the regular season, the Capitals are on the road in Pittsburgh. How many home games did I list for the month of April?
I wasn't keeping count.
Three. The Capitals only have seven home games left, and only three of them are in the month of April. It's Chicago, Carolina, Columbus.
So you're the question is, are you going to be at the
Oh, I'll be at all of them.
at the at no, but what are you going to be at the one where he is that where you're going with are you going
Yeah,
to be
it is where I'm going because, well, one, I really wanted him to get like a hat trick against Anaheim and hopefully like a hat trick against San Jose to kind of knock that total down to three, before coming back home against Detroit. Because I would have loved it if he hit like 894 against, the Flyers. That would have been really cool, or even get 895 against the Flyers. Because I told my dad, and this was like one of the selling points to my dad to come to the game, is like, if Ovi scores, we're literally seeing history. Like every goal that we see in person is seeing history, le or as history leading up to history too, at the same time. And that's kind of like a big thing that I threw out there. And my dad was like, yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And so like obviously there's talk, right now he's on pace to tie the record on April 10th against Carolina at home. He is on pace to break the record April 12th in Columbus. That is what he is on pace for currently. Honestly, him doing it against Columbus makes 100% sense because he scored his first ever goal against Columbus, and it would be full circle moment if he scored 895 against Columbus.
Amazing.
And actually, I sent you this before we started recording, but I saw this, the NHL posted this, but Alex Ovechkin sent a signed auto or an autographed jersey to Yeah, because I sent it to Pascal Leclaire. For those of you who don't know, Pascal Leclaire is the goalie that Ovechkin scored his first and second career goals against, as he scored two goals in his NHL debut.
Amazing.
He sent it to Leclaire with the inscription of "Your number one smiley face," signed by Ovi on the number eight on the back of the jersey. That I think is really cool. I also think it would like we know if I do believe who it was Messi Lionel Messi in soccer, he gave like all the goalies he scored on like a bottle of wine for every goal that he scored against them or something like that. I heard people going like, oh, he should give like a bottle of Coke to every goalie that he scored on, and like every goalie gets like a number of bottles based on how many goals he scored against them, which means Marc-Andre Fleury would be getting a lot of them along with Henrik Lundqvist.
Funny.
So I think it's kind of cool where you have Ovechkin maybe sending an autographed jersey to every goaltender. Kind of like as a commemorative item to the goalie of like,
That's a
hey,
lot of goaltenders.
yeah, well, he scored against like 182 at this point, or 183 different goalies. So yeah, man, it's kind of cool. But yeah, I like I said, selfishly, I would have loved to see it on March 20th. Personally, I think everyone wants to see him score it at home,
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
895.
Well, because part of the experience is going to be the audience response, and it's just going to be, I mean, you'll have fans following around towards the end, but it's nothing if they do, if he does it at home, it's going to be epic to
Yeah,
be part of
it
that.
like personally, I'm okay with it happening wherever.
Right, of course.
As much as for one, I'm not in a position to be able to travel around to see if he can score the goal.
Well, it's like winning the
Because
Stanley
well,
Cup. If they win on the road, then it's
yeah,
fine.
well, I mean, well, my situation is also a little different now too, because as I mentioned, like 2 weeks ago, I lost my job, so the last thing I really should be spending my money on is traveling around trying to watch Ovechkin score a goal. No, I'm gonna rail rein it in. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm going to rein it in a little bit and be like, okay, I'm just going to go to the home games and hope he does it at a home game. But even if he doesn't do it at home and he does it on the road, one, you already know the league has made it known that they are going to stop the game. So the moment, and every, and here's the thing, when Ovi is like two goals away, every time Ovi's on the ice, every single NHL game that is going on, they're going to have Ovi in a pitcher-in-pitcher thing. Every time he touches the ice, that is going to happen league-wide, and you know it. The other thing is that when he does score 895, it has already come out, it's already been confirmed, they are just going to stop the game and do the ceremony. Gretzky will be there, Bill Daly, Gary Bettman, maybe
Oh, they're
some
going to do it
other.
right at that moment.
They're do it right there at that moment. Like the
Okay,
league has
wow.
already come out and said that. Me personally, I wouldn't do that. I would just have, you know, everyone, you know, let the bench clear out, mob Ovi, have the other team's
Yeah.
bench clear, and then like maybe do like a handshake line to congratulate Ovi on the accomplishment, and just kind of let it be.
Oh, and you could even
But
have it at, maybe at a halftime thing at a later game.
well, and that's what I was about to say, is that say that it happens on the road,
Yeah.
you know for a fact that very next game at home, so like say he does it April 12th in Columbus,
Yeah.
you know very well that April 13th at home for the home finale, they're going to do a pregame ceremony for the home fans to honor
Yeah,
Ovechkin
of course, of
for
course. And
breaking
that
the
could be a
record.
whole career thing. It could be
Yeah.
the, it could be more than just
Because,
goal.
and here's the bigger thing that needs to be said. Ovi has already made it known that after next season, which is the last year of his contract, he is going back to Dynamo Moscow in the KHL, and he's going to play at least 1 year there and then
Wow.
call it a career. So he's going to essentially retire from the NHL, play in the KHL for 1 year, maybe two, and then call it a career. He may play one because Crosby was it, next season's the beginning of Sidney Crosby's 2 year extension with Pittsburgh. And so if that's the case, 26, 27, if Ovi plays 1 year in the KHL and Crosby plays that second year of his contract and then they both retire at the same time, well, in 2030, you're having an Ovechkin Crosby
Yeah.
dual headline, you know, Hall of Fame induction. So when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, oh, now it kind of it makes a little bit of sense that way. It's just a shame that they're just not going to let him in right away. They're going to force that 3 year wait for both of these guys. In which, by the way, Crosby, since I mentioned him, he is literally 8 points away from giving himself another point per game season, his 20th, which will then break Wayne Gretzky's record of 19 point per game seasons.
Wow.
So like, and Crosby's 8 points away from that. So like,
Nice.
and that is kind of something that is lost in all of this with Ovechkin because of the fact that everyone's following the chase. But Crosby's still doing something very significant at the same time. So it just kind of tells you just kind of how it is, you know, with Ovechkin and just the whole thing. But I definitely see at home, like even then, say he scores, you know, 895 on Long Island at the Islanders on April 6th. I still see April 13th being the game where they do the pregame ceremony, or they do it on the 10th before they play Carolina. Because you know that if he does it on the road, they want to do something for the fans at home. Because they know that not all the fans at home are going to travel to Boston or Carolina or Columbus or Long Island or where are they, you know, before that. Or, well, actually, the other two home games are Winnipeg and Minnesota. Like not a lot of Cavs fans are gonna travel. I mean, right now they're not gonna travel out to Minnesota or Winnipeg because he's only 9 goals away. Like that's the other thing. You're gonna start seeing people traveling for Ovechkin when he's 5 goals away. So when
Yeah.
he scores 4 more goals and he's 5 away, that's when you're going to start seeing people travel. So if he's literally 5 goals away come April 1st, you're going to see a lot of Cavs fans in Boston, Carolina, Long Island, Columbus, Long Island, and Pittsburgh if he
Nice.
hasn't broken. And of course, I've heard the people go, oh, he needs to break the record on April 17th. Here's my feeling, and I want people to understand this. I want Ovechkin to break it this month. I don't care when this month. He could do it on the 30th against Buffalo.
Really?
He can do it on April 1st in Boston, April 2nd in Carolina. I don't care. I want him to do it ideally by April 4th. And the reason I say that is because I want at least, at minimum, the last 2 weeks of the regular season to be about getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, because that is another story, which I don't think people are necessarily expecting
And
beginning
that's the thing. It's like the whole story right now is Ovechkin
now.
in the goal chase and Gretzky and stuff like that. And which is great. But the problem is that the closer you get to the playoffs, and that's still a storyline, the more of a distraction that's going to be. So the sooner that Ovi gets it, which I'm telling a lot of teams, just give him the empty net for now, and then make 890 and make have 894 and 895 be like power play goals from the office, because it would be so fitting.
Right.
I want those last 2 weeks of the regular season, those last 6 games minimum of the regular season, to be focused on the playoffs and not about the record, because the record at that point is behind them.
Yep, I agree.
And I would really, and I'm saying this as a Caps fan, because it's like, as great as the goal record is, if he can get the record this season and the Stanley Cup, oh man, that's going to be the best story to tell.
Yeah,
And
that
then literally next season becomes the Ovechkin farewell tour.
yeah.
You know,
That's what I thought.
kind of like what they're doing with Marc-Andre Fleury right now.
Yeah. I was thinking that would actually be kind of nice. Yeah, I was thinking that might be kind of nice.
So yeah. Anything else on the Capitals you want to talk about? We went for the remainder of the schedule. We've talked a lot about Ovi. We talked about me making a fool of myself trying to throw a hat during an Ovechkin hat trick.
Well, I just think one, it's kind of cool that you didn't expect that they would be. I mean, that was sort of the thought. It's all about Obi while the team rebuilds. But I got to say, even watching the Edmonton game, it's a good team. You guys got a good team this year. And one thing I noticed, which I thought was really interesting, is that one thing I felt, and I think did inform. We'll talk about trade deadlines later, but I think Oilers have always been talking. They need to get bigger. But that became very clear during that game. Because you guys are a nice big team, I thought you need size going to the playoffs, period. You can't.
Like when you go up against guys like Tom Wilson and Alexei Protas is a big guy, Pierre-Luc Dubois is a big boy. You know, I mean, yeah, the Oilers have like Darnell Nurse and Matthias Ekholm on the blue line, but who do they have on
Well,
offense
they
that's a
brought a
big
few.
guy?
Yeah, they probably that's what they did during the trade deadline. They just brought in some size and hopefully it'll help. But that was during that. But at that time, yeah, that it was noticeably different. I said there are a lot of big boys on that team, and
And talking about some of those big boys, I want to throw this out there real quick, because we didn't bring up stats. So Dylan Strome leads the Capitals in points with 64. He's got 20 goals and 44 assists. Obviously, that's a career high for him. Alexei Protas also hitting career highs for himself as well, has 28 goals and 30 assists for 58 points. Protas is on pace for over 30 goals for the first time in his career, which is good on him. Pierre-Luc Dubois, for the first time in his career, hit 40 assists when he got a couple assists in Anaheim a couple nights ago, and has 57 points. Tom Wilson is 29 goals, 25 assists. So he's also hit a career high in points for himself this season. He's going to hit the 30-goal plateau. So you have some guys here like Connor McMichael can conceivably get close to 30 goals this season for the Capitals. And Ovi is fifth on the team in scoring with 33 goals and 20 assists for 53 points. and he's 39 years old.
That's the crazy part, and that's part of the great part of the story is that, you know, I mean that is the truth, right? We all get older, and it's nice to see that. You know what I mean? That, you know, doesn't mean you got to slow down, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like when you look at that, you just kind of go, yeah, this is kind of.
It's a great it goes beyond just being a Cap story. It's a great NHL story. It's a great human story. So,
Oh yeah.
you know, so it's all
So
good. It's all good.
with that, we're now going to transition over to your Edmonton
Oh
Oilers.
geez,
You're
I would almost also spend the entire
just
section
going like, doing a
trying to
smiley
change the
face.
subject.
Well, we gotta do a little. Well,
But anyway,
but
really
we already agreed that we weren't going to talk too much about him because we kind of wanted to talk about,
about
the
Four
trade
Nations, yeah. But
deadline and
that being said,
everything.
I think it's interesting what I was thinking. It's in. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, to me, psychology, sports psychology is really interesting because I go, you know, we all go through this, right? Even when I play in our little beer leagues, right? Is we keep thinking, and part of it is because it's kind of stupid to like really throw yourself out there, you know, because, you know, you don't want to get hurt, right? But you keep thinking like we know what it takes to, you know, if we put in that to commit, you know, and it's weird that psychology. And I thought, okay, I don't know. Edmund's very. I don't know the psychology. I'm worried it's right now it's not going so well in the locker room. I don't know what it is, but I don't know why people can't clamp down. They're work skating harder, but you know they're just m making mistakes. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't, you know, and they're talking about it's the goalies, you know, but you know there's the defense is a little better, but they're, you know, and one thing I kept on thinking, which is really true, you know, I was hearing this some stat where they're saying the expected goals were ex one of the highest. I mean, anyway, they get so close and they hit what four or five posts on the Buffalo game, and they're loud posts. That's the thing that's killing me. You hear it,
Oh man,
ding.
I mean the Caps had that last night against Los Angeles. Caps
Oh.
had some really great opportunities, but all they got was post.
Yeah, and what's happening is that's like a real regular thing, and I'm starting to think it's a bit too regular to. I mean, you want that pressure and you want it to be close. That's how you get goals eventually, at least a goal. But what I'm just noticing is I don't know what even with McDavid, you know, they're getting in there, they're creating offense, but they're just not scoring. So who knows what that is? I don't know enough about, you know, I don't
Well,
know. I mean, I should
I'm going to throw
know.
this out here real quick.
Yeah.
So, when we last left off, which when we released the episode on February 1st,
Yeah.
you lost the Toronto playoff team.
Yeah.
You beat St. Louis and Chicago, non-playoff teams. You lost to Colorado, which is, as of right now, where is Colorado? Is a playoff team.
Yeah.
Then coming back from Four Nations, lost to Philadelphia, non-playoff team, lost to the Capitals, second best team in the league,
Yeah, who?
hands
Yeah,
down.
I quite frankly didn't think we'd win that game even going into
And
it.
then you lost to Tampa and Florida, two playoff teams. Like I said, Florida's the second best team in the Eastern Conference right now. And then you beat Carolina, who is a playoff team.
Yep.
You lost to Anaheim 6-2.
That was
That's
crazy.
the game you need to be more alarmed about,
Yeah.
not being able to beat Anaheim.
Yeah, I agree.
Beat Montreal 3-2 in overtime, and they are currently outside the bubble of the wild card, so they're like a bubble team right now. So they're playing for their
Playing
playoff
better now,
berths.
but they're playing better now. But yeah.
Beat Dallas.
Yeah, that was a good game. That was the last good.
Yeah.
That was a good game. That was Oilers hockey.
And that's a playoff team. That's
Yeah,
a
that was
playoff
good.
team.
That was Oilers hockey for the first 40 minutes anyway, for sure. And even the end, you know, there were some good defensive plays. Skinner was great,
And
so.
then you lost to Buffalo, who is the second worst team in the league.
Oh, I mean, that.
And then lost to New Jersey, who is a team that is in the playoffs right now, but they're this is and we'll go over standings because there's some point discrepancies in the Eastern Conference. When I go over this with you, you're going to be like, I didn't realize it was that bad. And right now, the score is nothing nothing. As we're recording this, the Islanders.
Oh, don't tell
And
me.
the Oilers are playing right now. It's tied nothing nothing. It's still zero
Okay, well,
zero.
I'm gonna watch this after this.
Yeah,
So
but well, I'm not. It's tied nothing nothing. So at least you have something to look forward to. but next, the remainder schedule for the Oilers is the New York Rangers, who's a bubble team. Right now, it should be noted the Islanders are not even. They're outside the playoffs and they're barely in the bubble. They're like outside the bubble. Utah Hockey Club, who is in the bubble. You got Winnipeg, obviously the best team in the league. You got Seattle, who is outside the bubble. Dallas, playoff team, back to Seattle again. Calgary, who is a wild card team right now. And then you have Vegas, playoff team. San Jose, literally the worst team in the league. LA, playoff team. Anaheim.
Likely first round also,
Yeah.
likely.
Yeah. And then you got Anaheim, St. Louis, San Jose, Winnipeg, LA, San Jose. So you actually have a lot of battles within your own division.
Yep. Oh no. They're not guaranteed to make the playoffs. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah.
They're I mean right now. I mean I feel like the way they are, I don't know what the psychology is there that creates that, but the slow beginning of the year, and then when they kick in, when they decide they want to win, they're a great team.
Well, let's be honest. If they really want to make it, you need to come out with a point. You don't have to beat them, but you need to come out with a point against Winnipeg. You need to come out with points against Seattle. You need to come out with a point or two against Calgary. Because here's the thing, and this is the only point thing I want to throw. Between Edmonton and Calgary has the wild card spot, and Edmonton's in third place in the Pacific, it's a 7-point differential with Calgary having a game in hand. So keep that in mind as you get near the end of the season. But you have Vegas, San Jose, LA. You have LA twice. Hold on, let's see here.
Those would be good
You
games.
have Seattle twice. You have San Jose three more times.
Ooh, we like that.
Those should be like six easy points for you guys.
We like those.
You have LA twice, you have Winnipeg twice, you have Anaheim once, and you have Vegas once. When you look at that schedule, you got to go, we need to beat these guys.
Yeah,
They're
and I would say
800.
I would just love to see him have a second place finish, get home ice advantage, first round play. I don't know, but right now it's one of those weird things that I mean, there are problems in the offense and defense. I mean, there's goaltending, but if you don't have your if your defense, I mean, there are so many giveaways. There are just a lot of issues. It's very weird. I don't know where that came from, and I don't know how that happened. From I don't know what happened over
Well,
the.
not only, well, here's part of your problem, and I'm going to show it to you right now. It's your offensive output. Right now, first on your team is Leon Draisaitl. He's got 47 goals, 51 assists for 98 points. So
Yeah, no, he's great.
he's 2 points away becoming the second player in the league to hit 100 because Nathan MacKinnon just did that earlier this week.
Yeah, no, and he's just fantastic. I mean, just everything. I mean, one of the big things is puck management
But this
is,
is where it gets
and he's
concerning
so
for the
good.
Oilers. Next is Connor McDavid, 24 goals, 60 assists, 84 points. Evan Bouchard, 13 goals, 39 points, 52 points. That is a major drop. That's a 32-point drop. So you go from a 14-point drop to a 32-point drop. And then it's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 16 goals, 23 assists, 39 points. Zach Hyman, 22 goals, 15 assists, 37 points. Jake Walman, who you picked up at the trade deadline, 6 goals, 28 points, 30
Yeah,
or
he's great.
28
He's a
assists,
good addition.
34 points.
He's a good addition.
I just picked him up for fantasy.
Good addition. He he's
I had two of my guys get hurt, so I had to put him on IR for another forward and defenseman.
nice.
Ekholm, 27 points. Darnell Nurse, 24 points. Connor Brown, 23 points. But the number of goals by
Oh
these
yeah.
guys, like the next double-digit goal guy, after Hyman is Corey Perry with 14.
I know.
And then it's Jeff Skinner with 11, but Skinner's been getting scratched.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Skinner right now because, because a lot of the people they're sticking, and the problem is, you get you get you need guys like Pod Coles and like Drysdale likes playing with him. Problem with Skinner is he holds onto the puck, so he's not going to get onto those first two lines. That's the problem. So and then it's almost like being overqualified. Because and it's like you're saying, asking too much salary or whatever, and you're saying, okay, and McDavid and Draisaitl need people that just feed him the puck, and Skinner's not that kind of guy. He holds on to the puck and he tries to score, which is great, and but it's kind of weird. But it is weird that they keep pushing him out because there are a lot of guys out there
Because,
not producing.
well, they're starting to realize that, there's a reason Buffalo bought him out.
Yeah.
Like the one thing you said, he holds the puck on too long and stuff like that. But
Yeah, and then which is fine if he's scoring, but he's not, and all that. So there, it's a little problematic. I get it, and that is the problem. It's just the bottom six, man. I don't know. I mean, that being said, when I was watching the Dallas game, that was the best team effort I'd seen in all the forwards. And defense, for that matter, they were working together, and it felt like playoffs last year, where it felt like a team, and everybody's contributing, everybody was scoring. Like I love it when it's spread out. I love it when there's a non.
And that's essentially what they kind of need to get back to,
Yeah.
essentially for them,
I mean,
for them
it
next
can't
year.
be. Let's hope, some combination Drysdale and McDavid score. You know what I mean? I mean, it they're just. And now teams are, they have they built defenses around it, so it's not so simple
Yeah.
sometimes. And I mean, Drysdale is great, and I don't know, I don't even know. Maybe McDavid, he's dealing with some injuries. I don't know, and he's not telling anybody. I'm
Well,
not quite
we'll
sure.
talk about that
Yeah.
in a moment. And, as I say in a moment, I really mean right now,
I know.
because let's be honest, I have been a big opponent of the Four Nations because of the fact that, like, I don't like the All-Star game. I think they should just get rid of it. I hate the idea of shutting down the NHL for tournaments, Olympics, whatever, because it's never been beneficial to the league. We'll get to that in a moment because there is something worth talking about with the Four Nations in regards to that, compared to the Olympics. But one of those things is also injuries.
Yeah.
Jay Theodore, the Vegas Golden Knights, got hurt in game one for Canada and is now week to week and probably not going to be back until the playoffs.
And Charlie Coyle, I think he
No,
was.
Charlie Coyle did not get hurt. Matthew Tkachuk,
Oh, Malik Kachuk definitely
yeah,
got
he
hurt.
got hurt. He's probably not coming back to the playoffs for the Florida
Yeah.
Panthers.
He definitely got hurt.
Brady Tkachuk got hurt, but he's back in the lineup. He wasn't out very long term. There is talk that Sidney Crosby got banged up pretty bad in the tournament. There was talk that Connor McDavid got banged up
Yeah,
pretty
it
bad
was
in the tournament,
competitive, and it's weird.
especially those the America the Team USA Canada games.
Oh, those are great. I get that was good hockey, though. You got to admit that was pretty good hockey.
So I will 100% admit I did not watch a single second of Four Nations.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to say, I was shocked at how I was kind of. I'm with you. I was just not into it, and I didn't think, and plus, I was sort of watching, is it going to be like the NBA All-Star game, which is like not people aren't really trying, but this really turned into a thing, and
Where
it was,
people were trying, and I'll give
yeah.
them credit for that. And I know there's people going like, "Oh, you didn't watch a single second of it. You're not a real hockey fan." No, I'm a hockey fan. I just don't care for these in-season tournament things.
Yeah. But it was
I
good. It
don't,
was
I don't
fun.
like, sh I don't like shutting down the league
Yeah.
for tournaments and stuff like that. I don't think it's beneficial to the NHL to do that, especially when you're doing it right off of the Super Bowl. That's when you should really be hammering home your product to the fans to get more interest because, hey, Super Bowl's over, NFL's done. Now it's the NHL's time to shine, and you take that away. And that's one of the things that always annoys me. But again, there's a nugget in there that I want to talk about, but a little bit later.
Yeah.
I also used it as an opportunity to just take a break from hockey for 2 weeks because,
It
quite
was, yeah,
frankly,
there was something
you
nice,
need to have it a little bit.
and I'm sure, I don't know, Edmonton got a bit too relaxed, I think, over the holidays, but for the most part it's good, 'cause really, Drysdale, there was no German team, and
Hey, keep in mind, no Washington Capitals. The Capitals were
yeah,
the
there were zero.
only,
Yeah, I thought
they
that's
were
so
the
bizarre.
only, if it wasn't for the Kaapo Kakko trade by the Rangers to the Kraken,
Yeah.
the Kraken and the Capitals would have been the only two teams without a single player in the tournament. And then they got Kaapo, and he played for, I believe, Sweden or Finland.
Yeah,
Can't remember off the top of my head. Sorry
it's
for
very.
screwing up his thing. But the Capitals end up having
Yeah, they had
no
zero.
play. They had zero
No,
players,
zero
like
players,
no
which is
Dubois, no Strome.
kind of bizarre when you think about,
Well, it actually came out that apparently the reason Logan Thompson was not selected as one of the goalies, and by the way, he's like one of the like of Canadian goalies, he was number one, and they took goalies 6, 7, and 8 on that list. Like the top five goalies that were Canadian were never even selected for this team. That's absurd. But the thing about Logan Thompson is that because Peter DeBoer and Bruce Cassidy were assistant coaches and had coached him in Vegas, they're like, no, we don't want Logan Thompson on the team. That's why literally the best Canadian goalie in the NHL right now was not on Team Canada, because you had two assistant coaches saying we don't want to deal with him.
Personality or what
I don't know what it is. I didn't see it. It
who
didn't,
knows?
the report didn't go fully in it, but they were very against having Logan Thompson on the team, which was, I think, stupid. Like I said, Dylan Strome was not on the team. Pierre-Luc Dubois was not on the team.
Yeah, I remember him.
Tom Wilson, somebody, like, because, like, let's be honest, when that first game between the Americans and the Canadians happened, and you had those three fights in 9 seconds,
That was crazy.
it's like, you had Tom Wilson on the ice. Some of that stuff ain't happening with Tom Wilson on the ice. Let's be honest here. So you had that. So it's like us as a Caps fan, we're
Tom
happy. No,
Wilson's Canadian.
we're happy none of our boy or none of our
Yeah,
guys are in that
no, you
tournament.
guys benefit. And clearly, yeah, you guys benefited from it.
And like that's the thing. It's like, that means we have a healthy Tom Wilson coming out of this tournament. We have a healthy Logan Thompson coming out of this tournament. We have a healthy Pierre-Luc Dubois or Dylan Strome coming out of this tournament. We have a healthy John Carlson who could have played for Team USA, or Charlie Lindgren who could have played for Team USA. Those guys are coming out of this thing healthy because they didn't play in the tournament. Rasmus Sandin, who's Swedish, did not play for Team Sweden, is coming out of that healthy because of the fact that he did not play.
But what I do know, I mean, Connor McDavid took some huge hits. Charlie Coyle, that's why I brought him up. I mean, they're like really noticeably huge hits. And one thing I got to say, which is really weird, is I saw him skating. He played great during it. I wish he'd do more of that for the Oilers, because he looked so good, and he scored the overtime, which was classic. But he was skating very fast. I mean, he's always skating fast, but there's something about the way he's playing. I thought, oh, I hope he brings that back to the Oilers, So it was kind of weird, but there is sort of speculation that maybe he's not feeling so well.
Yeah, but there's
Because
one player.
he was pretty bad. He was not good when he came back, first came back. So,
Yeah,
maybe.
but there's definitely one player who benefited playing in the Four Nations. And that's Drew Doughty of the Los Angeles Kings. Because if
Interesting.
you remember, he got hurt in the preseason
Yeah.
and essentially missed the first half of the season. He came back, like, I think a
Oh.
couple games before the tournament. And he played in every game of the tournament. And for a lot, if you're a Los Angeles Kings fan, you're happy about that. Because one, he didn't get hurt in the tournament.
Right.
But you got a guy who is now, in a way, like a trade deadline acquisition, because he's been out for the majority of the season. He gets
Yeah.
these 4 games in with Team Canada in the Four Nations. And now you have a back up the speed, Drew Doughty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's not just playing in, like, oh, preseason games or, some like early regular
Oh
season
yeah,
games.
no.
You're
Those
getting a
are real
guy
games.
who's playing in what ended up becoming high intensity playoff style
That was
games.
playoff style game for sure, like from beginning to end. I mean, The speed was crazy. It was such a fast. And one thing I got to say is pretty cool seeing those guys to play together, because that to me felt like an all-star game in the sense that you really got to see, oh, what if, MacKinnon and McDavid were on the same line? Oh,
Yeah,
and Makar. What?
more so Crosby and MacKinnon because we
Yeah,
know they're buddies.
Crosby, McKinnon, just watching some of these line matchups, and man, like such high level play, and it's so fast. Everybody was such a fast skater, it's ridiculous. So
Yeah.
it was good, but yeah, there's part of me sort of thinking that, I know McDavid is really slow coming out of it, and maybe, I don't know, maybe he is hurt. I don't know.
But
It's a
yeah, but and here's the thing. Here's this nugget that I said I was going to bring up. And that's, it has been historically noted that when the NHL shuts down for the Olympics, they do it with the idea that they're going to bring in new viewers into the NHL.
Yeah.
Outside of 2002, which was in Salt Lake City, Utah, and 2010, which was in Vancouver, outside of those two Olympic games, they had no new viewership come out of the Olympics, out of NHL participation in the Olympics. None. Like Vancouver, you saw a minor bump, especially because of the fact that Canada beat USA. And then Salt Lake City, you had a minor bump because of it being USA versus Canada in the final as well in the United States. So you had a more interest, and it's like, okay, these guys play in the NHL, that will come over. But the thing is that that minor bump in new viewership was very minimal, and it
Yeah.
did not sustain.
Yeah.
So it's like, and that's the thing. Like, so next year when they, or next season when they do that Olympic break,
Yeah.
I don't remember where they're going because I don't pay attention to the Olympics, but I know it's not in North America.
I think it's Italy, I feel like.
I believe so. It might be in Italy. But here's the thing. If it's going to Italy, how many people coming back from that Olympic break, how many new viewers are you legitimately going to get from something that is on a massively different time zone from
Yeah.
what NHL games are usually are at? That's a benefactor of Vancouver and Salt Lake City. The time zone factor works out better for
Viewers you
people
pick up
for
are
viewership
more
over
likely
here.
to be willing to watch at that hour. That's interesting.
In the championship game of the Four Nations tournament, it had a viewership of 9.4 million viewers.
Yeah.
9.4. Now, that is great for viewership for something that the NHL and the NHLPA did. The question is coming out of this tournament, you had 9.4 million people watching the championship game. Is that sustainable? Are we going to be, I'm not saying we have to keep all 9 million, but can we at least keep it around 5 million viewers?
Yeah.
Like, that's the question. Can you sustain that, especially the fact that you're going into the playoffs? Can we get that type of viewership of 5 million, which is, yes, it's a $4.4 million person drop off from that championship game in Four Nations. But if we could have playoff games that have 5 million viewers throughout the playoffs, especially when you get into the later rounds, and maybe have it ramp up to that 9 million viewership number you had for the Four Nations Championship, then I would be willing to say, okay, we actually get to see this sustained throughout the playoffs, especially into the Stanley Cup final. Four Nations was in fact a beneficial thing to help the NHL gain viewership, because when you gain viewership, you make more money. And when you make more money, the salary cap goes up, which makes the NHLPA happy because the players make more money.
Right.
So it's like, so is this truly sustainable? We know obviously next season, there was talk on Hockey Night in Canada that they might scrap. Or not Hockey Night Canada, TSN's insider trading on Thursday. There was talk that they might scrap the All-Star game in Long Island next year and just focus on, because they just saw the success of the Four Nations.
That's not a bad.
How do you go from doing a Four Nations to going back to the same
The
old
All-Star.
All-Star game weekend?
Yeah, I agree.
So it's like, so now they're in a conundrum with this.
Yeah.
And then in 2028, they're going to do an 8-team World Cup of hockey because they're hoping by the time 2028 comes around, they can have the Russians back in there.
Right.
You know, so it's like you're going to have USA, Finland, Canada, Sweden, obviously, as your main four. You're hoping to get Russia back in there. You're going to get Slovakia in there. You're probably going to get Czech Republic in there. So that's your other three. And then you're probably going to get Germany in there
Yeah.
as your eighth team. So when you look at it from that perspective, like that, it's like 2028. Now you have this. And now you have the conundrum of 2027 of going, do we do an all-star game?
I know, right?
Because 2030, you know, they're going to do Olympics again. And then 2032 will be another World Cup.
Yeah.
So you actually have to look at how a lot of this lines up, not just now, but in the future. And does this actually, like with the World Cup, they're talking about doing some of the games in Europe and some of the games over here. Okay, great. But again, are you going to be able to sustain whatever new viewership you may gain from that into the remainder of the NHL season and into the playoffs, specifically through the Cup final? That is the number one question. That is the number one challenge that the NHL has with these breaks. And you know, with the Olympics, with them being overseas, that is an a that answer is no, you're not going to gain new viewership because it's been proven time and time again, unless it's over here in North America. So you have to look at it from that perspective. Four Nations, 9.4 million viewership for the championship game. Fantastic. Perfect. Can we get that number in the Stanley Cup final? Can that viewership carry over into the Stanley Cup final? That's what I want to see. That's the challenge for the NHL. You need to be able to take something like that and successfully, that's the word I was looking for, successfully carry that over. Even if it drops down to like 5 million for the first couple rounds of the playoffs, you want to still try to hit that number of the 9.4,
Yep.
or at least 8 million. I'll give you the low bar of an 8 million for a Stanley Cup final viewership. That's what
Yeah.
you know, because you just set this high bar with the championship game of Four Nations. You need to do it for the Cup final, and the Cup final is 1,000 times more important than some tournament championship game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that even McDavid commented on that. You know, he's saying, you know, it's just some small tournament, you
Yeah.
know. He even saying, okay, you know, because yeah, it was fun. He was into it.
But it ain't the Stanley Cup.
There was that, yeah, it wasn't. Well, there was something about at the end. I didn't watch the ceremony, but they're saying people are lifting up the cup, and McDavid kind of like the half-assed it when he put it up, and they're saying either, and they're speculating. Number one, is he saying this isn't the cup I want? It's probably what in reality would have, but someone's also saying, what if he actually injured and he just doesn't feel like lifting the cup all the way, you know?
I mean, it could be a combination of both. It could just be it, or it could just be he just wasn't interested in lifting the damn thing because it ain't the Stanley Cup.
Well, his comments in the, you know, he was happy. I mean, it was cool. It was a great goal. I mean, you know, I don't know if you, well, yeah, she didn't see it, but it was just,
I mean, I saw the replays and the
yeah, and
highlights and stuff.
I
It's
think
like,
Auston Matthew made a little bit of a mistake on that. But you know, it was just the way it came together, and just you see the people involved. I think it's a bit of a blown coverage, but McDavid, it was just a beautiful shot, and yeah, it was a great, yeah. In fact, it's interesting because I think he won the face-off to the point he got a shot off. I think that got it back in, and then I think Makar pinched and sent it around the boards, which I just love that pass. I'd love to. I have not mastered that in a game yet to really. I've done
oh,
it
the
once.
wrapping around the boards.
Yeah, I've done it once or twice. Like it just never gets to who I'm trying to get. It dies behind the net or something like that. But it was who the frick got the assist? You'd think I'd know because these are all superstars, but
Might have
anyway,
been Marner.
Marner, you're right. You're
Yeah.
Marner, Mitch Marner. So Makar pinches, does the round the board thing to Marner, and Marner draws everybody in. And I don't know why Auston Matthews just dropped his assignment on Dick McDavid and he left him. I was like, dude, what are you? I mean, McDavid, and he's out in the middle and he just gets it and makes no mistake. So it was a wonderful goal and he was really happy. But he did say, actually, at the post, you know, at the post game in the interview, he just said, well, you know, it's just a little tournament. He or something. I don't know what the words he used, but he said, this is not what I why I
Yeah,
about.
it's not my ultimate goal.
Yeah,
Um,
and
and and it
great.
should be noted, and I want to throw this out there, and I was just thinking about this, and then I just lost my train of thought. I had it for a second.
I saw your eyes light up. Yeah, it was a good thought. I think we
Oh,
all need
that's what I
it.
was talking about. The point system. I
Yeah.
think the point system that they did, 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime loss, 0 points for a regulation loss. I know that it was brought up to the GMs about would you be willing to bring this into the league? And a lot of them rolled their eyes at it. I'm sorry, that's what it needs to be moving
I
forward.
agree. I agree. Yeah, that's great.
Because as we go through the standings in a moment, we should know what a regulation win is and a regulation loss is. Because
Yeah.
when you actually, because you don't have it properly broken down in the standings.
Yeah, it is kind of
Because
weird.
it does matter for things. Plus, not only that, but one of the things it would do is that, if you're going to keep the loser point of losing in overtime, and one team gets 2 points and one team's get 1 point, well, that's a 3 point game. So why can't a regulation win be 3 points
Yeah.
and a regulation point be zero for or a regulation loss be 0 points? Because that's the reality of the situation. You
And
need
also as a stake there that, you know,
it.
if
Well, not only that, but what it also will do is that when you go, it's going to make you want to win more games in regulation. If you, especially if you're a team that's on the bubble, you're going to want the 3 points and not
Well,
two.
yeah, and it's like the three-pointer in basketball. It's like it really changes the game. You know, it allows movement that is significant. You know, so.
And I think it would also bring up the competition level if
Well,
you have a regulation
you
win with
do
3 points.
that now, where people settle into, well, we got our point, and they actually are willing to lose the game. Like deep down, they're saying, "Yeah, we got the," you know, or if they. You know, but there's or if they tied it up, they're not freaked out because they didn't lose a point. You know,
Yeah,
we can
and that's
win
the
the
thing.
silver line.
But and that's going to add more of an emphasis if you have regulation wins be 3 points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you do lose a point if they tie it up.
Yeah. So it's like I don't want to go to like if I know regulation wins are 3 points, I don't want to go to overtime. Like, let's be honest, the fact that games went to overtime costed Sweden, costed Finland
Yeah.
potentially playing in that championship game with the US.
You're right. I can't remember how that quite worked, but I know S
Because
Sweden lost in overtime.
I think Sweden lost in overtime or something like that. So it's like, so when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, now put that in NHL terms and say, hey, you got 3 regulation points for winning in regulation, but you got 2 points for winning in overtime, and that the fact that they lost out on that 1 point because they went to overtime
Yeah.
could mean everything for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and
It
that
that
means
would and I think that would be much better for the NHL long term for competition.
well, you know, allowing that, you know, that last minute point to tie up a game, allowing that really has consequences. And
Yeah.
you know, they're gonna play harder, so to just not allow that to happen. So
Yeah,
that's a good point.
especially some of these teams that are,
I like that.
like as we
Never
go,
thought of.
and actually this is a perfect segue. We'll go into the standings.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the Eastern Conference first. In the Atlantic Division, the Panthers are in first place with 85 points, followed by the Toronto Maple Leafs with 81 and the Tampa Bay Lightning with 70. Nine. It should be noted that the Ottawa Senators are below the Lightning, but with the first wild card spot at 75 points. going into the Metropolitan Division, and this is where some parity comes into play. Like, wait until you see this parity. The Capitals are first with 94 points. Carolina Hurricanes, second with 82 points. So that's a 12-point drop.
Wow, that's amazing.
Then third is New Jersey Devils at 78
Holy crap.
points, which is a 4-point drop from Carolina. And like a 16-point drop from the Caps or something, I don't know, but I'm not going to try to do that math right now. Next up in the Metro is the Columbus Blue Jackets and the New York Rangers at 70 points. So an 8-point drop from the Devils to the next team. Columbus is in the second and final wild card spot because they have a game in hand on the Rangers. Also in the bubble, you have the Montreal Canadiens with 69 points, the Detroit Red Wings with 68, the Boston Bruins with 68, and then we're gonna throw them in there just for now, but I don't think they have a shot. The New York Islanders with 65. Obviously, should be noted, the Islanders are actually actively playing the Edmonton Oilers right
Yeah,
now.
don't say anything. Don't say anything.
And it should also be noted that at the time of recording, the Detroit Red Wings are playing the Carolina Hurricanes right now, and Dallas is in Winnipeg right now. At the time of recording, there's like three more Western Conference games that are going to take place later. Actually, Colorado Calgary is happening right now too. Not saying scores, just saying who is playing.
I got you.
And then to round out the rest of the Eastern Conference, you can pretty much say these teams are probably out unless some fluke happens. The Philadelphia Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins both have 64 points. The Flyers have a game in hand on the Penguins, and the Buffalo Sabres have 56 points.
That's crazy. Oilers lost to them, but anyway.
So when you look at it right now, if the NHL season ended today, you would have the Capitals taking on Columbus, Florida taking on Ottawa, Toronto taking on Tampa, and Carolina taking on New Jersey. That's kind of wild. I mean, no Boston, no Rangers, you know. So it's a little interesting when you look at it that way. Moving into the West. In the Central Division, you have the Winnipeg Jets at 94 points. I believe they actually have a game in hand on the Capitals. They do? No, actually, they're actually tied for first in the NHL, both the Jets and the Capitals. They both are at 94 points. So,
Amazing.
but here's the interesting thing. I think the Jets are the better of the two because they're 45, 17, and 4, whereas the Capitals are 43, 15, and 8. So that's where some of those points, if you win in regulation and you win in overtime, really starts to matter right there. Second in the Central is the Dallas Stars at 86 points, and then the Colorado Avalanche at 81. Also in the Central Division at fourth place is the Minnesota Wild, who are currently sitting in the first wild card spot. In the Pacific Division, you have the Vegas Golden Knights at 85 points in the first place spot, LA with 79 points sitting in second, and the Oilers
How many did Golden Knights have?
85 points. The Kings have 79, and the Oilers have 78. And then in the second wild card spot and fourth in the Pacific Division is the Calgary Flames with 71. However, they are tied in points with the Vancouver Canucks at 71, but they have a game in hand on Vancouver. In the bubble, you have the Utah Hockey Club and St. Louis Blues, both with 69 points, but Utah has a game in hand on St. Louis. And I am going to keep them in the bubble for now, but they are realistically not in it. And that is the Anaheim Ducks with 63 points. And then the rest of the West is Seattle with 60 points, Nashville with 57. Man, that was a blown, this is a blown season for Nashville. Signing Steven Stamkos, Brady Shea, Jonathan Marchessault. Oof.
Nashville, geez.
Yeah, I know. And then you got Chicago with 49 points and San Jose with 45.
We all love San Jose.
So when you look at it from this perspective, and I want to throw this out there, I want to look at it from the East perspective. I want to look at it from a Columbus Rangers Canadians perspective, because again, two teams have 70 points, one team has a game in hand, the other team has 69 points. When you look at these three teams, Columbus is 31, 26, and 8. Rangers are 32, 28, and 6. Montreal is 31, 27, and 7. When you look at regulation wins, Ottawa, or not Ottawa, Columbus has 23, the Rangers have 29, and Montreal has 22. When it comes to regulation wins,
Wow, interesting.
period.
Interesting. Yeah.
Now imagine if it was 3 points for a regulation win,
Oh,
2 points for a regulate or an overtime win, one
yeah.
point for an overtime loss, and no points for a regulation loss. If that was the case, the Rangers would have 6 additional points
Yeah.
over Columbus, and it would be the Rangers who would be sitting in the second and final wild
And
card
I was going to
spot.
feel like, in particular, to your three, to the earlier thing about 3 points, is that especially with the 3-on-3, it's not quite like if it's just like, the 5-on-5 overtime, well, you can see it just took a little longer to win the game. But the game is so different at 3-on-3. You know what I mean? That it actually is that, like, to me, I breathe a sigh of relief if Edmonton makes it to the overtime, because then there's a good chance they're going to win it. You know what
Oh
I
yeah,
mean?
they have the speed and everything to do
Oh
it,
yeah, they just need a little more space and all that. And I'm saying, so it changes the game. It's not the same game in overtime as it is. So it's not like you just make the game longer, so.
and I want to put this in perspective for you too, as we look at this. We're gonna look at Calgary, Vancouver, Utah, St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
Calgary 30 23 11. Vancouver 30 24 11. Utah 29 25 11. St. Louis 31 28 and 7. Those are their records. Regulation wins. Calgary 24. Vancouver 23. Utah 21. St. Louis 22. This is a good case of where these teams are exactly where they should be, minus a flip of Utah and St. Louis, because if you had 3 points for regulation wins, St. Louis would have one additional point over Utah. So this is one where it actually works. Whereas then when you look at the East again, technically speaking, the Rangers would have 6 points on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they would be in the final wild card spot for the Eastern Conference.
Yep. Interesting.
Montreal would still be the third place team. Detroit would actually probably be 1 point above, or actually even tied with Montreal instead of a point behind Montreal, looking at this.
Yeah.
So that, just to give perspective, it's like that's what doing 3 points for
Yeah,
regulation
no, that's
does.
it. That's interesting. I never really have given it much thought, but that's different. That's interesting. That's interesting.
I have my moments.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's great about it too, it gives it, like the three pointer in basketball, it gives you that chance to really come from behind. You know what I mean? You're not, you can really rise if you have that option, and maybe you're a good regulation team. I don't know, or yeah. So it's cool. That's cool stuff. That's cool
Yeah.
stuff. But yeah, it'll be interesting as playoffs get closer. I mean, I certainly hope the Oilers get their act together, and they don't. Are we going to talk to Dred? trade deadline at all?
Yeah, we're going to talk about trade deadline in a little bit. I'm
Okay.
actually getting it ready because that'll be our next little segment that we get to ready for.
Okay.
Because I want to touch base on a couple trades that took place
Yeah, no,
before the deadline itself.
it
And
was interesting.
then, like, I'm not going to touch base on the stuff that we had already touched on, like the JT Miller trade and the Jacob Trouba trade and
Oh
stuff
yeah, but
like
he had
that.
Rantanen. Jesus, I don't
Yeah,
think
and
we
the
talked
Rant,
about that.
well, we'll talk about Rantanen because Rantanen got traded again.
Yeah, I know, right? That was weird. Yeah, well, we got we
Yeah,
yeah, that was.
we'll get that to in a moment because, you know, it's just how we kind of work here on
Yeah.
this podcast because, as people know, we record our segments separately. So we actually have multiple recording set sessions within a session. So
It helps. It helps.
I know this one is running low on time, so I need to get us ready for the next one.
Let's say I look forward to my naps in between.
Yeah. Yeah, Toro literally takes naps. He'll take a selfie of him laying on the couch that's behind him and be like
I am the master of the cat nap and snack and a cat nap. I can do it all in 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, and what fun fact, while he does that, I am letting the audio and video export and then putting it in Audacity for the audio version of the podcast and the video stuff into Adobe Premiere to start getting everything ready because there's actually more editing involved in the video side of things than there are for the audio side. So it's like, that's why if you ever see an episode with the audio version out, but not the video version, it's because it's probably taking longer for that stuff to export after I finish editing. But with that,
Yes, I'm thinking about what's gonna be my snack this break. I'm thinking already.
yeah, I took a walk with my dad and I bought like some Easter candy so I can have something to snack on.
Gonna see
But
what's in.
yeah, but when we hit the when I hit start and we go right into it, it'll be the trade
A
deadline
deadline?
talk.
Yeah,
So
that.
we're giving it we're pulling the curtain back for everyone to know. We're about to actually stop recording right this second to get ready to record the trade deadline talk. Alrighty, everyone, and now it is time to talk about the trade deadline. Toru and I have taken our little breaks. Well, he took a break. I did a lot of work.
Yeah, no, I actually, it's funny. I actually get full on cat naps, and I'm getting so good at it. I actually go into like have these little mini dreams. It's kind of interesting.
Do you purr like a kitty as well?
Now, that I don't know.
Oh,
No.
okay.
Sadly, I have no one next to me. So,
Okay.
but yeah.
So anyways, we're gonna go with the trade deadline. We're gonna touch base on a couple trades that took place before the deadline itself, starting with March 1st, when Colorado traded Calvin DeHaan and UC Parsonen and a conditional second and fourth round picks in the 2025 NHL draft to the New York Rangers for Jimmy Vesey and Ryan Lindgren and Hank Kempf. So that was like the first big trade to kick off trade deadline, you know, this whole deadline week. Minnesota Wild picked up Gustav Nyquist from the Nashville Predators for a second round pick in the 26th draft. This is like the second season in a row where the Wild have actually picked up Nyquist as a trade deadline acquisition. And then also on March 1st, the Florida Panthers acquired defenseman Seth Jones and a fourth round pick in the 26th draft from Chicago for goaltender Spencer Knight and a first round pick in 2026. This was significant because it actually came out during the Four Nations tournament that Seth Jones was open to being traded to a contender by the Blackhawks. He actually said that he would be willing to move to another team because he had actually never really been to the playoffs. Plus, not only that, but this trade also helps out the Chicago Blackhawks because they end up picking what essentially becomes their goalie of the future with Spencer Knight. Next, you had on March 4th, the Edmonton Oilers in a three-team trade acquiring forward Trent Frederick, Max Jones, and Peter Hauser from the Boston Bruins. The Bruins acquired Max Wanner and a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick in the 2026 draft, and New Jersey acquired forward Shane LaChance. So this trade was really more for Edmonton. They picked up some size with Trent Frederick, which was something needed, but should be noted, Frederick is injured, so he has not yet played for the Edmonton Oilers yet. He is somebody who could be back in time for the playoffs. Then on March 5th, the Florida Panthers were not done dealing with goaltenders as they acquired Vitek Vanacek from the San Jose Sharks for Patrick Gillies. So Vanacek became now the new backup goalie of Sergei Bobrovsky because they obviously traded Spencer Knight to Chicago. But it wouldn't be over from there. We'll get there in a moment. But March 5th also saw the San Jose Sharks acquire defenseman Vincent Desharnais from the Pittsburgh Penguins for a fifth-round pick in 2028. The Nashville Predators also acquired forward Michael Bunting and a fourth-round pick in 2026 from Pittsburgh for defenseman Luke Shen and forward Tommy Novak. Should be noted, Luke Shen never got to play a game for the Penguins, and we'll explain why when we get to March 7th. And of course, the big trade on March 5th was the Tampa Bay Lightning acquiring forwards Oliver Bjorkstrand and Yanni Gourde, along with defenseman Kyle Coyne and a fifth round pick in the 2026 draft, and a three-team trade also involving Seattle and Detroit. Seattle acquired forward Michael Eisenmont and a second round pick in the 2025 draft, and a conditional first rounder in 2026 and a conditional first rounder in 2027. Whereas Detroit acquired a conditional fourth round pick in 2025. It should be noted that Yanni Gourde was selected by the Seattle Kraken in their expansion draft, and he was part of the back-to-back Stanley Cup teams for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And of course, Tampa Bay now has like no first round draft picks going up to like 2027 at this point now. Then March 6th, Florida acquired forward Nico Sturm in a seventh round pick in 2027 from San Jose for a fourth round pick in 26. And the Devils acquired defenseman Brian Dumoulin from Anaheim for forward Herman Trapp and a second round pick in 2025. Now, remember when I said that the Florida Panthers were not done with goalies just yet? Well, they did another trade involving goalies, this time with Winnipeg, where they traded goaltender Chris Dreiger to the Jets for goalie Kaapo Kähkönen, who they obviously sent down to the minors. It should be noted that at last season's trades, Kaapo Kähkönen was traded from the Winnipeg Jets to the San Jose Sharks. Or no, I think that's right. I don't remember. I know Cap. No, it could have been Minnesota. No, Minnesota traded Kaapo Kähkönen to the Sharks, and the Devils traded Vitek Vanacek to the Sharks last year. Now they're both with the Florida Panthers. Interesting, eh? So the Panthers did like three goalie trades in a matter of a week.
It's crazy.
The Rangers acquired defenseman Carson Soucy from the Vancouver Canucks for a third round pick in 25. The Vegas Golden Knights acquired Riley Smith from the New York Rangers for forward Brandon Brisson and a third round pick in 25. And it should be noted that Riley Smith was an original member of the Vegas Golden Knights and won the Stanley Cup with them in 2023. So you have a couple players now going back to their original teams in a way. March 6th, you also had the Minnesota Wild acquire forward Justin Brazeau from the Boston Bruins for forwards Marat. And I am going to butcher this name. I am sorry, but his name is super freaking long. It is Kuznetdinov. Very long name, Russian name. Sorry, I butchered it. And Jacob Lacko and a sixth round pick in the 2026 draft. And then, of course, this was a trade that was done at like midnight on March 6th. The Colorado Avalanche acquired forwards Brock Nelson and William Dufour from the New York Islanders for forward Callum Ritchie, defenseman Oliver Shillington, and a first round pick in the 2026 or 27 draft, and a third round pick in 28. I believe it's because of the reason for the 2026 or 27 is because it is a top 10 protected pick, I believe. Then on trade deadline day, the Anaheim Ducks actually acquired defenseman Oliver Shillington from the Islanders for future considerations. It should actually be noted that apparently the Brock Nelson trade took place at like 11:50, and then like at 12:15 in the morning on March 7th, that's when Shillington was traded from the Islanders to the Ducks. This is the one that you and I were talking about. The Edmonton Oilers acquired defenseman Jake Walman from the San Jose Sharks for a conditional first round pick in 26 and forward Carl Berglund.
Yep.
The Capitals actually did, the Walman trade was also at like 1 in the morning when that trade was announced, like 1 in the morning Eastern time. Keep in mind, Toro is 3 hours behind me.
I think it was still yeah.
Yeah. But that was like 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. But the first official trade of the day was the Capitals acquiring forward Anthony Beauvillier from the Pittsburgh Penguins for a second round pick in the 25 draft. It should be noted that this pick is actually the Capitals' own. They kept the Bruins from when they traded Dmitry Orlov a couple seasons ago. So that is actually so they actually have the better of the two draft picks for the second round. So the Caps kept the better of the two in that deal. Beauvillier, I will say this so far, he's only played 3 games. He is a massive upgrade over Jacob Vrána, who was claimed off of waivers by the Nashville Predators before the day before the deadline. And because he actually does have a defense to his game, whereas Vrána was not a defensively responsible player. And Beauvillier has a goal already in 3 games. He scored in the second game. He was one of the goal scorers in Anaheim. So, like what I see from Beauvillier so far, but I would like to see Ethan Frank get back in the lineup. But we'll see how C Coach Carberry manages those lines going down the stretch. This was a big trade because this is a trade that ended up shaking up two teams' cores and probably should have happened sooner. The Ottawa Senators acquired forward Dylan Cousins and defenseman Dennis Gilbert in a second round pick in the 26th draft from the Buffalo Sabres for forward Josh Norris and defenseman Jacob Bernard Docker. The fact that Norris and Cousins, who are were drafted by their teams and were like centerpieces of their teams, got moved, that was a sign that like change needed to happen to these two franchises. Like a core piece needed to move. So far Ottawa has been has won this trade in a
Yeah.
way, with Cousins, and actually in their both their first games, actually Norris and Cousins were factors in the game-winning goals for their respective new teams. So, I mean, that's going to be a time will tell because of where Buffalo is in the standings right now. So you may have to look at next season as to whether or not they may have won, got the good, better of this trade or not. So, we'll see. That's a time will tell type deal. The Los Angeles Kings acquired forward Andrei Kuzmenko in a seventh round pick in the 25 draft from the Flyers for a third round pick in 2027. It should be noted that Kuzmenko was part of the Calgary Flames trade with the Flyers that sent Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost to Calgary a few like a month earlier. Remember how he said Luke Shen wasn't going to stay long in Pittsburgh? That's
Yeah.
because he was traded to the Winnipeg Jets for a second round pick in the 26th draft and a fourth round pick in the 27 draft.
Nice.
There had been talk going into this trade deadline of teams trying to get both Luke and Braden Schenn together on the same team because they're
Right.
brothers.
Yeah.
And so, when everyone saw Pittsburgh acquire Luke Schenn, the first thing everyone said was, oh, Pittsburgh is either going to try to get Braden or they're going to try to help facilitate the two brothers going to be on the same team.
Oh, interesting.
And instead, Luke just went to Winnipeg and Braden stayed put in St. Louis. The Detroit Red Wings acquired Peter Mrazek and forward Craig Forward from the Chicago Blackhawks for forward Joe Valeno. It should be noted that Mrazek actually started his NHL career with the Detroit Red Wings. In a minor trade, Columbus Blue Jackets acquired forward Luke Kunin from the San Jose Sharks for a fourth round pick in 25. This is the guy I wanted the Capitals to go after. Winnipeg Jets acquired forward Brandon Tanev from the Seattle Kraken for a second round pick in the 27 draft. That's the guy I wanted the Capitals to go after. Like, knowing now that he went to Winnipeg, it's like, okay, Beauvillier is a good second place, is a good second option to Brandon Tanev. But me personally, I would have gone for Brandon Tanev.
No.
I think he's a more complete player of what you need for a bottom six guy.
Yep.
Massive trade. The Toronto Maple Leafs acquired forward Scott Laudon, a fourth round pick in the 25 draft and a sixth round pick in the 27 draft from the Flyers for forward Nikita Grebenkin and a first round pick in the 27 draft. The Devils acquired Dennis Cholowski from the Islanders for Adam Beckman. That was kind of like an eh trade. Colorado acquired Charlie Coyle in a fifth round pick in the 26th draft from Boston for forwards Casey Mittelstadt and William Zellers and a second round pick in 25. And then the Avalanche also acquired defenseman Eric Johnson from the Philadelphia Flyers for forward Giovanni Smith. Another minor trade, the Rangers acquired Nicholas Aube-Kubel from the Sabres for Erik Brännström. Oh yeah, this was a fun trade. The Dallas, not the Dallas Stars, the Chicago Blackhawks acquired forward Aku Rautti and defenseman Victor Soderstrom and Shea Weber. Yes, the one who just went into the Hockey Hall of Fame, Shea Weber, for a fifth round pick in the 26th draft from Utah. So Utah traded the rights to Shea Weber. Obviously, this was a trade for Chicago to still have hit the cap floor. So it was simply a salary cap trade for the Blackhawks picking up Shea Weber. And then, of course, the big one. Actually, let me see how many more trades are there. Okay, I'm going to go from top and work my way to the Dallas trade. That trade's not worth talking about. That trade's not worth talking about. Toronto Maple Leafs acquired defenseman Brandon Carlo from the Boston Bruins for forward Fraser Minton and a conditional first round pick in the 26th draft and a fourth round pick in the 25 draft. The Devil, that trade's not worth talking about. The Penguins acquired defenseman Connor Timmins and forward Connor Duar. Apparently, they really wanted guys by the name of Connor in this trade from the Maple Leafs for a fifth round pick in 25. The Senators acquired forward Fabian Zetterlund and Tristan Robbins, along with a fourth round pick in 2025 from the San Jose Sharks for Zach Ostapchuk and Noah Gregor, and a second round pick in 25. And then the Bruins acquired defenseman Henry Jarkiharju from the Buffalo Sabres and a fourth round pick in 26. That's not a trade worth talking about. That's not a trade worth talking about. Devils acquired forwards Cody Glass and John Gruden from the Pittsburgh Penguins for forwards Chase Stillman and Max Graham and a third round pick in 27. And then, where is it? Yep. And which brings us to the last trade, the most important, actually, second to last trade, because we're going to talk depth in depth about this trade, but we're also going to talk in depth about another trade that took place. The Dallas Stars acquired forward Mikko Rantanen from the Carolina Hurricanes for forward Logan Stankoven, a conditional first-round pick in 26, a conditional first-round pick in 28, a third-round pick in 26, and a third-round pick in 27. So the Mikko Rantanen thing experiment in Carolina obviously did not work because he did not want to be there. And he so he obviously didn't want to be there. They came to him before the deadline saying, "Here's an offer, 8 years, don't know how much money." And he said no. And so, you know, they had their hands are tied. They had to move the guy because they didn't want to have another Jake Guentzel situation like last year where they traded for Jake Guentzel and then he ends up signing with Tampa Bay and you end up getting nothing for the guy. So, you know, and then as soon as he gets to Dallas, he inks an 8-year extension. So he's a Dallas Star for the next 8 years. Toru, I have talked a lot going through a lot of these trades. Please share your thoughts.
Oh man, on which one? Well, I guess since we're
Any
talking about,
trades, or particularly the Rantanen trade, because that's obviously that was the big one
oh
that
well, I
everyone
guess since
cared
we're
about.
talking, it's kind of interesting. I mean, what is, and there was always that part of me wondering if, I mean, it's kind of, what a weird thing to get traded twice, as someone at his level. right, to get traded twice in such a short period of time. But and I believe the Oilers were after him. But I think that,
A lot of teams were
well,
after
sure.
Dustin. Yeah.
But you know, I think at the end of the day, first of all, I don't think they could have pulled it off. I mean, you just I don't think they had the cap space for it. Plus, there was really quite a return on that. And I look at that and I sort of think, well, I mean, it's cool and all, and it's not the, I mean, it would be great, but it's not, I don't know. To me, it's sort of like, I'm fine. I'm fine with, you know, having gone to Dallas. I don't know. I mean, I've, you know, and obviously they played well against Dallas and everything like that. He's a good player for sure, but it is kind of shocking that he moved twice. And did, oh, you know what? Did you even mention,
I haven't mentioned the other trade yet.
okay, I'm talking. We're talking about it later.
I wanted to save it. I wanted to save this
Oh,
week.
okay. Well, I guess
That way we can
going
get
back.
me a little
Well, I can give you sort of my quick thoughts on
on your Euler trades.
Oilers. Yeah, and I would say it's interesting too because as bad as they are right now, or whatever the heck is going on with them, no one knows. But one thing I think is kind of cool. Won't that be cool come playoff time? And you know, who knows? Maybe they'll just come. Maybe they'll just be some crazy playoff team. I mean, they're kind of, they're a little schizophrenic. So,
I mean, and especially once you get Trent Frederick in the lineup, like
yeah,
you're
no, I'm
already
thinking Trent Frederick,
you're already getting Jake Walman in the lineup. You're already
Jake
getting
Wauman, and then also
Max Jones. You're already
and
getting
Max
both of those
Jones.
guys in the
Those are
lineup.
big guys, and they were great. Those the two games. I can't remember who they played before Dallas, but who, you know, and then Wauman came in next. They were great, and you know, Wauman still is. He's doing great. I love him on the team, and he,
And
and
I
both of them brings
And I think once you get Frederick in the lineup and he gets a few games
Frederick
under him,
and Evander Kane. I mean,
yeah.
and
Well,
Ekholm is Ekholm's not back yet.
Kane's an interesting situation though for Evander Kane because it sounds like he might not be back until the playoffs,
Well, yeah,
period.
no, that's the big mystery. But if
Because they
that's
made an announcement around the trade deadline about the Evander Kane health situation.
LTIR. Well, you know, I've always wondered though if they did that so they could bring in Wallman. You know what I mean? I've always wondered if there's some weird strategy like,
I
oh.
mean, keep in mind there is no salary cap going into the playoffs. There's no salary cap in the playoffs.
Yeah. So.
Because I mean, look at Florida. Florida has Matthew Tkachuk on long-term IR. That means his cap hit is off the books right now.
Yeah.
And
That's what.
they traded for Seth Jones. They traded for Vitek Vanacek.
Yeah,
Granted,
that's what I'm thinking
they
is
moved a
I'm
couple
wondering
other
how much of
goalies
that's
around.
a strategy saying what where we finish, we finish. We wanna win the cup,
Yeah,
that kind of
and
thing.
which brings us to the next trade, the final trade that we're going to
Yes.
talk about. Because there were a couple trades where I just looked at it like, oh, those are minor leaguers; those trades don't matter. the Florida Panthers acquired Brad Marchand from the Boston Bruins for a conditional second-round pick
Yeah.
in 27. That is possibly the most interesting trade after what we learned after the fact. And that is the thing is that Marchand and the Bruins, they're negotiating a new contract. They came to an agreement on the years, but they're very far apart on the money. And Marchand going and he Marchand has been out hurt, and he pretty much said, like the week of the deadline, he said, let's have if in person face to face meeting to see if we can bridge the gap. And according to Elliot Friedman, Marchand was willing to bend on some of his ass, but Boston management was not willing to at all, which what ended up leading to this trade. And
Yep.
the reason that it ended up being the Panthers was one, they were going to send him to a team that had a chance to win the Stanley Cup. They weren't going to do Brad Marchand dirty like that. But also Florida became the choice because Gregory Campbell and Sean Thornton, two guys he won the Stanley Cup with in Boston in 2011, are in Florida as part of their management group or management team. So he's there with people that he's familiar with. When you look at Seth Jones, he's going to the Panthers that has Bill Zito as the general manager, and he is very familiar with Bill Zito from when he was in when they were in Columbus together for all those years. So your Bill Zito knows, Seth Jones. He didn't know, I mean, he knows Brad Marchand just simply because he's Brad friggin' Marchand. But I think that's one of the big reasons why Marchand went to Florida. And it's going to be interesting because Marchand is injured right now. He hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see
He's not a
him.
young man. He's not a young man.
Yeah, he's 36. He played 16 seasons with Boston. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table for the
He would, and he was,
Panthers.
you see that interview, he's very sad. You know, he was
Oh
very felt.
yeah. I
He
mean, I
was
mean.
sitting there in this Panthers jersey, and I'm sure he's happy to be there, but it's so weird that, you know, like when you think the typical athlete thing, but you know, I'm with my new team, I'm ha like he just got really emotional saying, yeah, and just basically, man, that really sucks. You know,
Yeah,
that's what happened.
he wanted to stay with Boston, but Boston made it known to him, we're not going to keep you.
And I guess, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, that's classic, right? Holding on to older players and, you
I mean,
know.
it's understandable for a team like the Capitals to hold on to Ovechkin, a team like Pittsburgh to hold on to
And
Crosby.
also, Vision's playing well,
Yeah.
you know. So,
Well, Crosby's playing very well too.
yeah, that's true. True, 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 true,
I
true.
mean, I think the bigger factor is gonna be, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Crosby if the Penguins are still really bad these next two seasons because, I know they're saying that he's going to be a lifelong Penguin. If the team is like bottom of the barrel these
Mean,
next two seasons,
they have not have a, yeah, they're doing not
yeah,
doing well.
if they're both bottom of the barrel at the end of next season, or they're bottom near the bottom of the barrel, you're still doing a rebuild come trade deadline of 2027. I don't see how Crosby stays with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I just don't. Like, send him to Colorado, let him be with McKinnon, Let him go win the Stanley Cup together.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, you know, with both these kind of guys. I mean, maybe in a weird sort of way, it is nice because you send them to a team, you know, where they might win the cup. And also, too, one point out with Marchand is that, well, now he doesn't have to carry the team. He's a role player, and that's
Yeah.
maybe all he's suited for now, you know. And you know, maybe they kind of, maybe you want that, you know. At some point, you hit that point in life where, wow, it's so hard to carry the team. Why not become a role player? And it'd be nice, I can still hold the cup over my head, you know, that kind of thing. So
Yeah.
maybe, you know, maybe, you know, and it's, there's such a great history of it. Gretzky, of course, right? I keep forgetting he was on the Blues too. That was so crazy when I saw
I
his.
it's funny you say that because like literally last night I was watching something on YouTube about the whole trade the Saint like what went wrong for
Don't remember anything about
like
that.
what went wrong for Gretzky in St. Louis
Yeah.
because apparently like there was a contract offer and he had like one bad game in the playoffs and they pulled the contract offer and Mike Keenan was the coach at the time and we all know how Keenan is because he's kind of a jerk, and he has an ego.
Yeah.
If I run into that little documentary that
Yeah, it'd
was
be great. Yeah,
from
I'd
it,
love it.
I'll send it over to you. But it
But
was very.
I guess my point was, it's not like it doesn't happen, and it's part of a story, great career. And you know, sometimes you want to retire, so you know, whatever.
I mean, look at Jaromir Jagr and how many NHL teams he ended up
Yeah,
playing
and
for.
I've heard Ovechkin is going to go to the KHL, right, Nick? Like
Yeah, that's
after,
what we were talking about earlier. Yeah. But like
yeah. So
he's
so
kind of made it known
like,
he wants to do
you
like
know,
one
and at
year
some
there.
point, you know what, hockey sports, professional sports is hard. I mean, you know, even trying to play sports on a non-professional level, I'm telling you, it's like, I, you know, I'm it I just sort of think, wow, how, you know, you really wonder how many more years can I do this, you know, because it's not like going out and playing some pickleball, or you know what I mean, or going for a nice little hike in Runyon Canyon, you know, like it's a
You want to know
play.
something really funny? Because we talk about athletes and their durability. I
Yeah.
saw this statistic this morning or this afternoon, and it blew my mind. Did you know that Alex Ovechkin is 300 hits away from the all-time hits like leader to become the all-time hits leader in
Not.
NHL history?
It's amazing.
300 hits from Ovi. He would be the first ever person to have 300 hits, or no, or the most hits in NHL history and the most goals in NHL history.
That'd be pretty badass.
That is interesting and
Maybe that's
hilarious.
what next year will be about.
Yeah, Ovi just going around creaming guys.
Everybody be cheering on every time he gets a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is that whole thing. It's and that's the reality of it. And maybe if you have a great career and I don't know, it's funny. It's I've started thinking with Bear Marchers. Well, it's also good. Maybe moving to Florida. Maybe you're gonna do it anyway. Boston winters are cold. Maybe you want to move to Florida at some point
Well, keep
anyway.
in mind, Marchand's still a free. It's still going to be a free agent after the season, so you don't know what he could do
Don't
in the
know.
off season. But let's wrap up. We have
Yes.
done a lot of talking. It's been fun,
Oh yeah, you know what? Can
but
I? Can
let's do something real quick.
I?
Oh, you want to grab something?
Well, I want to make a pitch here.
Uh-oh. Go for
Plug.
the pitch, and then we'll
The
do our
plug.
closeout thing.
Okay. Little plug. I am going to be at WonderCon in Anaheim at the end of the month. 20, that whatever that weekend is, 27, 28. So I don't know if you're around. It's WonderCon. And I'm trying a little experiment because I notice I love one thing I love there. There, obviously fans there, but there's a lot of collectors, and I'm kind of, and I get the collector mentality. I mean, you're, it, right? And I'm starting to
I
dig.
don't know
Oh,
what you're
wow.
talking about.
Yeah, so I can participate on this, right? So I'm thinking, how can I add value? So I've been looking for some really weird stuff online, right? And I found this. I know it's not a more a Power Rangers thing, WonderCon, but I got this inspiration where I met you at the Power Rangers. I got this.
Oh, you got the Green Ranger Shredder?
And I have the pop. I have obviously the Funko Pop, but I found this thing, which is kind of
I
fun.
actually have that. I actually have the full Power Ranger TMNT set.
So I got that, and I'm gonna try and make, I'm gonna try and make some real collectibles because I like to doodle. I told you I like to, I feel like each thing is that's sort of a weird sort of art form. But this is a funny ass thing I found, is I fucking found a shredder.
Ha! It's a shredder.
Shredder. That's funny what? So I'm gonna see if nothing else, maybe it'll be a nice little piece to put on the table. But I thought, you know what? These are cool. This is cool collectibles, and I'm thinking just I'll do it upright. I'll make sure it's a really, really sharp thing. But anyway, that's WonderCon. But I'm thinking, why don't I start having fun with this? Because, it is fun because I'm starting to realize how much the collecting mentality is. There's fan mentality, but there's also collecting mentality.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. I love that part of it. So anyway, well, it's WonderCon Anaheim.
And that's the end of this month of March.
Yeah, it's I think even going to
28 for 30th.
28th through 30th. Yeah, it's at the convention center, I think.
So, and we'll plug it again. This is a quick thing. We're not going to take too much time on this. What game do you think Alex Ovechkin is going to get 895?
Okay, so I think I've we've talked a little bit, so I know. So I'm gonna, I think it'd be boring if we picked the same one. Oh shoot! Is this a home game? Okay, because I'm almost thinking the last
Remember,
game that he
anything in
did.
red on the Capitals is a home game. Anything that's white is a road game for the Capitals.
Is that how you tell?
Yes.
Well, you tell me if this is a home game. I can't tell from.
Okay.
I just Googled it, but Penguins the 17th last game of the year, and Sidney Crosby will be there, who also apparently is threatening to break another. Gretzky,
Yeah, that's the points per game record.
yeah, points per game.
That
So
was the one I
thinking,
mentioned earlier, yeah.
yeah. So wouldn't that be funny if
But
they both?
he's 8 points away from that. Once he gets 8 points, he's already gonna hit that record. He's already gonna hit
Oh
that. That'll be
yeah, I
done
guess
before the
that's a bit
season.
too far. Okay, that's a bit too far. Okay, but I thought that would be kind of interesting one, and especially because it's the last game of the year. So
That's a
I
road
don't know if
game.
he's
That's
gonna
a
make
road.
it that far. I think Ovechkin is gonna. You never know what's gonna happen. I think he's gonna hit it, but what before then? But I'm gonna go with that as my prediction, just
All right.
because I'll
So
throw it out there.
Turo is saying the regular season finale in Pittsburgh.
In
In
Pittsburgh,
Pittsburgh. All right. I
and shake it, and he'd be first to shake
yeah.
Crosby's hand in the line.
I am going to go with Friday, April 4th. At home against Chicago.
Oh wow! Okay.
Because remember, Ovi had a hat trick to get goal number 800 against Chicago. It also goes down to that thing that I said where he needs to get it done before the
Oh, I
make
see what you're
this
saying. Yeah, no, I could see as a Caps fan, I would totally be with you on that.
yeah
Yeah.
I am predicting that it'll be
Yeah, I would
April.
say.
I'm predicting April 4th versus Chicago. You're predicting April 17th in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, just because I'm just
Just
gonna.
cuz you want chaos.
I just because yeah, but I do get that thing what you're saying about let's get to the business of playoffs. But
Yeah.
that being said, I'm gonna be that's my out there prediction. But I'm a risk taker. I don't mind. I
So,
don't mind.
with that said, we have already decided that no matter what, when Ovechkin breaks the record,
Yep.
we will do a specialty episode. Won't be
Yes.
as long as like our normal ones, but we will do a specialty episode for Ovechkin breaking the record with 895. And we'll obviously have that out as soon as we can. If not, we will be back. He will break the record. Just a matter of when does he break the record. But one way or the other,
And
we will also have our end of regular season slash playoff preview episode before the start of the playoffs.
just please keep me posted by text or whatever because I if you're feeling okay, do not miss this game and I
Yeah,
won't.
I'll just text you
Yeah.
every time he scores a goal. I'll just go 887 because he's currently at
Yeah,
eight eight
you
six,
can tell if
and
you,
I'll
but
just go eight
when you
eight
feel like there's
seven.
a significant danger that, you can be, I can be like on Gretzky watch. Yeah, I'll be like Gretzky showing up at the games. But just start, as it gets closer, if you're saying, okay, don't miss this game, then
Yeah, pretty much.
okay.
But so with that, social media stuff super quick. Obviously for you, it's Instagram at
Yeah,
Toro Masamune. It's just
that's
your
from
name.
awesome. Yeah, I
And
think it's.
then for me, it's at the Lindenbaum 75 on all social media at TXHT underscore hockey. Obviously, click on the link trees to find everything of where you can find all the social media stuff like that. When you go on, I just say go to Twitter because it's the easiest one to go to and utilize for me at least. But that's where you find the stuff. Obviously, everything is on txhthockey.com. And also, as you see on the YouTube version, Toru and I are always wearing hockey jerseys now. It's become the thing.
We are.
Granted, the jersey I'm wearing is not from Cool Hockey, but go to coolhockey.com/txht and buy your official NHL jerseys. They do an amazing job. I highly recommend them. The majority of the jerseys that you see in my closet are from Cool Hockey. I will make sure to wear a Cool Hockey jersey next time. But that is, if you do coolhockey.com/txht, you actually support the website txhthockey.com. You support this podcast. You support me. And any support that you give us is always greatly appreciated. And of course, lastly, you can see Toru at WonderCon in Anaheim, California, March 28th through 30th. Go see him, say hi, tell him you love the hockey podcast, or that you found out about his appearance because of this podcast. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. I am Michael, he's Toru, and till next time, we'll see you at the rink.
Yes.